You are listening to a selection from the Joseph Smith Foundation audio library. The Joseph Smith Foundation has hundreds of free online resources, including audiobooks, videos, ebooks, articles, and more. To learn more, visit www.josephsmithfoundation.org.
William Adams, age 22. There was a great multitude attending the meeting. More than one half the crowd could not find seats and stood on their feet. Never were so many at one meeting that I ever saw. I was sitting down and could not see the speakers on the stand. I was listening very attentively so that I could hear every word. I heard a voice speaking. I was surprised and jumping to my feet, expecting Joseph the prophet was speaking, having heard him often in public and private, so that I was quite acquainted with his voice. This was a strong testimony that the 12 apostles were the rightful leaders of the church and that the mouth of Joseph had fallen on Brigham Young. Lewis Barney, age 35. The next day, President Brigham Young arrived in Nauvoo with some of the other apostles from a mission to the eastern states and called a meeting and invited Sidney Rigdon to the stand and, in the presence of the assembled thousands of the saints, said to Sidney, "Now, if you have anything to say, you have the opportunity, and you can take the stand." But Sidney declined and kept his seat. President Young then arose and took the stand, his face and countenance having the appearance of Joseph. His voice and words were the familiar voice and words of our martyred prophet, so much so the whole congregation was fully satisfied that the mantle of the prophet Joseph had fallen on him, and some of the saints really believed it was in reality the prophet himself. Well do I remember the feelings that possessed my breast at the time I knew it was Brigham Young, and being familiar with the countenance, voice, and the manner of the speech of the prophet Joseph Smith, I also knew that the mantle of the prophet had fallen on Brigham, and it was marvelous and a miracle wrought by the power of God in the sight and hearing of the whole multitude, that they might never doubt that Brigham was the chosen leader of the church. Robert Taylor Burton, age 22. This morning, at the presiding bishop's office, after reading what purported to be an appeal to the Latter-day Saints by Frederick J. Smith in regard to the successor of the prophet Joseph Smith, Jr., I had occasion in conversation with Bishop O.P. Miller to refer to my experience in Nauvoo, Illinois, sometime after the martyrdom of Joseph and Hiram Smith, and upon his request, I made the following statement. "This, to my mind, was one of the most critical periods in the history of the Church. A number of persons claimed the legal succession and to have this authority, among them Sidney Rigdon, James J. Strange, Aaron and Moses Smith, and others. The occasion that I now refer to was a general meeting of the Latter-day Saints, soon after the return to Nauvoo of President Brigham Young and other members of the Quorum of the 12 Apostles from their missions. The meeting has been called to order, and after the usual opening exercises, President Brigham Young arose to address the assembly. At that time, I was not acquainted with President Young, but his voice, manner, expression, and in fact, his personal appearance was so strikingly that of the martyred prophet that I rose from my seat, as did hundreds of others, to look at the prophet Joseph Smith, Jr. The likeness was so marked that I could hardly make myself believe that the prophet had not himself returned. Not that there was a resemblance between the two men. I am not going to say why this was other than I received it as an evidence to the people that God had chose Brigham Young as successor to the prophet Joseph Smith, Jr. There were dozens, even hundreds of others who were impressed just the same as I was at that time, and I have heard many, many who are now gone make similar statements or expressions to that I am here making." Signed, R.T. Burton. Anson Call, age 34. That week, Brigham Young and others of the 12 came to the city. On the Sunday following, Brigham and a portion of the 12 presented themselves in our congregation. He said he had not come to electioneer nor set up any particular claim, but to do his duty, and it was for the people to judge between truth and error. Before he, Brigham, had spoken many sentences, I discovered that it was the voice of Joseph, and had I have been where my eyes could not have beheld him, I should have believed that Joseph had been speaking. It was Joseph's voice and Joseph's gestures through the entire discourse. I became perfectly satisfied that this was the voice for me to follow in connection with the majority of the brethren. George Q. Cannon, age 17. It was the first sound of his voice, Brigham's, which the people had heard since he had gone east on his mission, and the effect upon them was most wonderful. Who that was present on that occasion can ever forget the impression it made upon them? If Joseph had risen from the dead and again spoke in their hearing, the effect could not have been more startling than it was to many present at that meeting. It was the voice of Joseph himself, and not only was it the voice of Joseph which was heard, but it seemed in the eyes of the people as though it was the very person of Joseph which stood before them. A more wonderful and miraculous event than was wrought that day in the presence of that congregation we never heard of. The Lord gave his people a testimony that left no room for doubt as to who was the man he had chosen to lead them. They both saw and heard with their natural eyes and ears, and then the words which were uttered came, accompanied by the convincing power of God, to their hearts, and they were filled with the Spirit and with great joy. There had been gloom, and in some hearts probably doubt and uncertainty. But now it was plain to all that here was the man upon whom the Lord had bestowed the necessary authority to act in their midst in Joseph's stead. Robert Crookston, age 22. I attended the funeral of the prophet Joseph and his brother Hiram Smith. I was also present at the meeting held in the Grove at Nauvoo, August 8, 1844, when Sidney Rigdon made the claim that it was his right to assume the leadership and presidency of the church. I saw Brigham Young stand up and speak to the people, and he spoke with the voice of Joseph Smith. I further testified that I was well acquainted with the prophet Joseph Smith and heard him speak many times. Among the many sermons I heard him preach was at the funeral of King Follett. I also heard him deliver his last adieu to the Nauvoo Legion. As to Brigham Young, I know of a surety that he spoke with the voice of Joseph Smith, and I was convinced then and never doubted during all the intervening years that passed that Brigham Young was chosen and ordained of God to lead the church. Jacob Hamblin, age 25. Come the 24th, when I arrived at Nauvoo, I saw there was a gathering of the saints at the stand. As I drew near, I saw Mr. Sidney Rigdon addressing the congregation. I listened a few minutes and said in my heart it was not the voice of the true shepherd. At Nauvoo, I found Sidney Rigdon busy among the saints, trying to establish his claim to the presidency of the church. He was first counselor to the prophet Joseph at the time of the latter's death. The church was 14 years old, and he claimed that it was its privilege and duty to appoint a guardian, and he wished the people to sanction his guardianship. I was much dissatisfied with the course he was taking, and as I could not sustain him, I felt to leave Nauvoo for a season. I went into the country, where I had left my wife and two children with my sister Melissa. On the 8th of August, 1844, I attended a general meeting of the saints. Elder Rigdon was there, urging his claims to the presidency of the church. His voice did not sound like the voice of the true shepherd. When he was about to call a vote of the congregation to sustain him as president of the church, Elders Brigham Young, Parley P. Pratt, and Heber C. Kimball stepped into the stand. Brigham Young remarked to the congregation, "I will manage this voting for Elder Rigdon. He does not preside here. This child," meaning himself, "will manage this flock for a season." The voice and gestures of the man were those of the prophet Joseph. The people, with few exceptions, visibly saw that the mantle of the prophet Joseph had fallen upon Brigham Young. To some it seemed as though Joseph again stood before them. I arose to my feet and said to a man sitting by me, "That is the voice of the true shepherd, the chief of the apostles." Mosiah Lyman Hancock, age 10. Although only a boy, I saw the mantle of the prophet Joseph rest on Brigham Young, and he arose lion-like to the occasion and lead the people forth. I remember Sidney Rigdon in his great desire to become guardian of the church, but I had seen the prophet Joseph proclaim these words before the people, "I've carried Sidney Rigdon long enough. I now throw him from my shoulders. If my brother Hiram wishes to pick him up and carry him, he may. I carry him no longer." I saw Brigham Young of the Quorum of the Twelve arise before the people, and I saw in him the look of Joseph and the voice of Joseph, and it seemed to me that he was as tall as Joseph, too. I knew that the mantle of Joseph had fallen on Brigham. I had heard the prophet say from the frame that he threw the furtherance of this church and kingdom upon the shoulders of the 12, that they should bear and send this gospel to every nation under heaven. Dan Jones, age 33. They, the apostles, returned to Nauvoo as soon as they heard, and on the 8th of August an assembly was held in Nauvoo to organize things for the future and to bring into effect the measures arranged through Joseph Smith, but primarily for the apostles to stand in their proper place at the head of the church on earth in the absence of their former leaders. There were between 12,000 and 15,000 saints gathered there. Brigham Young, Orson Hyde, Parley P. Pratt, and others addressed the crowd warmly and effectively so that everyone perceived that the mantle of the prophet had truly fallen on the apostles, and the whole crowd without exception manifested their approval of the apostles as leaders of the church by raising their right hand.
You have been listening to a selection from the Joseph Smith Foundation Audio Library. The Joseph Smith Foundation has hundreds of free online resources, including audiobooks, videos, ebooks, articles, and more. To learn more, visit www.josephsmithfoundation.org.